Welcome to the podcast at High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas, a place where the Word of God becomes a way of life. Our hope is that this resource will help you to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and ultimately to make a difference. We invite you to open up your heart and get ready to hear what God wants to speak to you through this message. Let's listen in. I am so glad that you're here. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. We want to take a moment and welcome in all those that are listening in online, our friends from all over the world. So High Ridge family, come on, let's give them a big warm round of applause. Welcome, welcome. So glad you could tune in this morning. Grab your Bibles if you would and follow along. We're going to spend some time in the book of James, chapter 4. That's going to be our second reference. Our first reference is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to continue on with our series called The Best Me. Somebody say, The Best Me. As we're doing that, I want to take a moment and just say thank you for all of you that were able to serve on Friday night at our Unite event. How amazing was that? We want to say a very, very, very special thank you. So can we just applaud those that were able to serve? We had a total of 94 people serving from four different churches, and that was awesome to see you guys working together with other believers all across the city. And man, I tell you, when we work together, there is nothing that we can't do. It was not without conflict, but absolutely worth it. Can somebody say amen? We were able to do between the four churches, we were able to bring relief for 1,000 families across four counties. And those families that were suffering with medical debt that they could not pay, we found the people that had no chance to pay off their medical debt. We paid off $1.2 million in medical debt for people that couldn't afford it. How about that? 1,000 families. You know, it was so cool because each of those families receives a letter in the mail this week, and that letter says, hey, your debt has been paid. It's been forgiven. There's no strings attached. And then if you'd like to know who paid your debt, click on this link, and the next time you go online, and when they click on the link, it's a video of us four pastors giving them the plan of salvation, saying not only was your debt paid, but our debt was paid too. But it wasn't a debt of money. It was a debt of sin. If you've never asked Christ to come into your heart, we want you to know that there are some people that care about you, and you need to make that decision. We care about you enough to pay off your bills for you, so that you will hopefully see that God loves you and cares about you and wants to bring you relief. Isn't that awesome? How about that? That's just the beginning, people. It's just the beginning. There are so many more things that we're feeling that the Lord is doing. There's a new wave of, I feel like, anointing to help and bless and strengthen and change our city and change she needs to come. Amen? God's doing some wonderful things, and it's always a pleasure to be in the middle of what God is doing. I love, love, love seeing God's people come together to do things that none of us could do by ourselves. So let's get into the Word of God today. I want to continue on with our series called The Best Me. And I'm challenging our church to think about what the best possible version of you would look like. And I think when we get that into our minds, we think of things that we could discipline ourselves to get better at. Well, I could be in better shape, or I could be a better husband. I could be a better worker or coworker. But God is telling us through His Word that it's not necessarily how much you discipline yourself, but the best me is not just found in discipline, but how I position myself. Sometimes it's better to be, what do they say, lucky than good, right? It's better to be lucky than good. You ever heard that statement? Well, so he just got lucky. Well, this person's way better. Well, this guy got lucky. Well, there's something about the Word of God that doesn't just tell us that it's about luck, but it's about where you are at the right time. You can be in the right place at the right time, and being led by the power of the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to do that. God says, I want you in the right place at the right time and position you where you receive things that are way above your pay grade. You find the best possible version of yourself when you're in the right place at the right time, which can only happen when you're being led by the power of God. There is a best version of you. And so I want to challenge you to continue on thinking about, what does the best version of me look like? What if I'm living up to all of my potential, not just some of it? What if I'm becoming all that God had in store for me? What if I'm maximizing everything that God has given me to bring the most glory to Him that is possible in my lifetime? What does that version of me look like? And I want you to know that you are designed on purpose for a purpose. You have someone that created you just how you are. And He didn't just create you to pay some bills and wait around to die. He didn't create you to just buy a few more toys or to have a few children, to get married a few times, whatever that is to you. God created you for more than that. It's just small-minded to think of the things that we settle for when God has something so much better for each and every person in this room. You were designed on purpose. Psalm 139 tells me that I was knitted together in my mother's womb, that God designed me, that He put me together. Every intricate part of me, God designed me for a purpose. And until you get that into your mind, you will spend your life chasing things that just do not line up with the purpose that God has in store for you. You are left wanting. My hope is that you would tap into the best possible version of you, that you would achieve greatness. Everything that God has given you, that you would use it for His glory and find the best version of you. You know, my heart, my hope is that you would live a great life. A great life. That you would accomplish amazing things, that you would make a wonderful impact, that you would serve God's purpose. And most people just waste their lives with pettiness and chasing after their impulses. But you know, greatness doesn't happen by accident. Greatness doesn't happen automatically. It's a result of decisions and positioning. It's a result of choices. Nobody is born great. No one is. You were born with potential for greatness, but it's a matter of choice. So you can waste your life if you want to, but my hope is that you would see that greatness is not a matter of talent. It's not a matter of money. It's not a matter of pedigree, but it's a matter of choices. And so the very first week of this series, we started off with the story of Paul and how God completely changed Paul's destiny when Paul began to respond to the leadings of the Holy Spirit. God knocked him off his high horse, and some of you have been there, where God knocked you off your high horse and said, the best version of you is not doing what you think you're doing, but doing something completely opposite. And when Paul began to respond to the leadings of the Holy Spirit, God showed him the best version of himself. He changed the world. The best version of us is a fully surrendered us. When you're listening to the Lord and not fighting against him, but listening to him, being obedient to him. It all starts there with full surrender to the Lord. Many people think they're fully surrendered to Christ. All of us think that we are in some way, but being fully surrendered is much different than thinking you are fully surrendered. It's actually being obedient, doing what he asks us to do, not just thinking I'll be obedient if you ask me something. Being fully surrendered to Christ is step one. And then the next week we talked about the best me is a challenged me. And how trials and tribulations, the things that we walk through, will actually produce something in you that brings out God's best for you. None of us like that process, but it is good for me. It brings out the best. It challenges me. It pushes me. It keeps me from becoming lazy. It keeps me from being insignificant. Challenges and trials that come will push me to become a better version of me. Well, that catches us up to this week, and I want to give you some new things. If you're a note taker, you might want to write this down. The best me is an authentic me. Authentic. Somebody say authentic. Authentic. Someone say just be real. You do you, boo-boo. You do you. You know, someone says be you. Everyone else is already taken. Just be yourself, right? Well, there is something to be said for authenticity. And so today I want to just talk about what authentic means. Now, when I first moved to East Texas, I asked some friends around here. Some of you will remain nameless, but you're sitting inside this church today. Where is some authentic Mexican food? And I heard the same answers. Oh, we have amazing authentic Mexican food here. Okay, I want you to understand. We'll clear this up once and for all. The word authentic does not mean what you think it means. Authentic Mexican food does not mean authentic Mexican food that you think it means. It means completely different things between me and you. Me being from Hispanic descent, I know what authentic Mexican food is. You probably do not. So let me just clear this up really quickly. If it involves beef, the chances are it is Tex-Mex. Mexican food doesn't use a lot of beef. They use things that you probably would not want. You would rather choose beef. But generally, beef is Texas-based. Texas is all about the beef. Now, there is nothing wrong with beef. Anything that is that big and that delicious and that slow was meant to be eaten. And I'm sorry to say that, but if it has a tortilla that is based in flour, that is Tex-Mex. That is not authentic Mexican. If it has yellow cheese on it, that is not authentic Mexican. That is Tex-Mex. Does it make sense? Anything that has a meat sauce or chili sauce, that is Tex-Mex. By the way, it's delicious, but that is not authentic Mexican food. Anything that has the cumin spice, cumin is from India. That is not Mexican spice. It's used in a lot of Mexican food, but generally, it's Tex-Mexican food. Makes sense? And so we have some amazing dishes here. There are wonderful restaurants, but most of them are Tex-Mex, not Mexican. And Mexican food, by the way, is delicious. There's some wonderful soups. There's lots of seafood. And some of you are thinking, it is, you know, a little after 9 o'clock, but I'm getting hungry for some authentic Tex-Mex food. But it's delicious. You know, the best version of you, the authentic version of you, is better than you think it is, but it might be different than what you think it is. Many of us feel like we have an authentic relationship with the Lord. But I want to challenge you that authenticity might mean something different than what you think it means. I don't get a lot of amens on that one. But that's okay. We're going to dig into God's word together and see that the best version of me is authentic when I'm really real with God. You know, the Bible doesn't use a lot of the word authentic or authenticity. We don't see that word translated from the Greek or from the Hebrew language, which are the original language that the Bible was written in. But what we do see is the word sincere. Somebody say sincere. I want to get in and talk about what the word sincere means when we have a sincere relationship with the Lord. That's not a word that we use a lot in today's language. Some of you may use it if you're in a class or you're meeting with business people or you're speaking in business lingo. You may say sincerity, but generally, when you're talking to someone that you have a good relationship with, you be real or be yourself. Let's talk about sincerity a little bit this morning, and I want to remind you that sincerity and being real, be authentic, is something that we don't see a lot of, especially when you're on social media. Because social media is full of the highlight reel version of people's lives. That's not real. That's Tex-Mex. Now, are those wonderful things? Great things. Wonderful things. But those are the highlights of my day, the highlights of my life. You don't see people posting a lot of things. Well, you know, some people do and probably shouldn't. They get way too real. You ever seen somebody that was too real? You're like, hey, keep that at home. We don't need to know all that. But the social media version of us is the highlight reel version. That's not the real version of you. And so as we're getting into what authenticity is and what sincerity looks like, I want to give you three choices, three ways to position yourself to release God's best for you around the topic of authenticity or sincerity. So if you're a note taker, you might want to write this down, and we'll back this up with scripture together again today. Number one, I choose to be sincere with the Lord. There's a choice that you have to make to release your authenticity and your relationship with God. God will not make you be authentic. God will not make you be sincere with Him. It is a choice that you make. But when you make this choice, it releases God's best for your life because you're finally being real with God, being authentic in your relationship with Him. I choose to be sincere with the Lord. And before we move along any farther with what sincerity means, I want to show you that the enemy of sincerity is a thing called spiritual pride. And this is really, really important for us to grasp. Spiritual pride is the enemy of my authenticity. Spiritual pride is the enemy of my sincerity. Spiritual pride. This is why people think that they are authentic with God, but really aren't, because they're listening to the voice of spiritual pride. And this is a very cunning attack from the enemy. He comes in making you think that you're in a relationship with God that means one thing, but it's actually something else. And spiritual pride creeps in and begins to destroy your relationship with the Lord. Anybody still with me today? Yeah. I'm really hoping that this helps you. Tim Keller says this, and I want to make sure that I get this quote right. It says, spiritual pride is the illusion that we are competent to run our own lives, to achieve our own sense of self-worth, and to find a purpose big enough to give us meaning in life without God. You know, lots of people will say, I was made for this. This is why God made me. And it has nothing to do with the way God made them. It's simply something that they're good at or something that they've disciplined themselves to do. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not an authentic relationship with Christ. That's not living your best life. That's living a disciplined life. That's different. There's nothing wrong with discipline, by the way. That's Tex-Mex. But I'm talking about authentic. That's a different step. That comes with our choices. And the enemy of this is spiritual pride. And I wonder, why do we keep God at arm's length as if He didn't understand what we're walking through? And that's what spiritual pride will tell you. Well, hey, you got to handle this on your own. You didn't hear anything from God when you talked to Him. He didn't do anything. You prayed to Him that one time, and you know, He's just busy. You know, I love the fact that we are designing and building a church where it's okay to not be okay. Because finally admitting that I'm not okay is the beginning to sincerity with the Lord. But spiritual pride will keep you saying things like, well, I'm just too blessed to be stressed. Yeah, but you walked in here half dressed and your hair is all out of place. We could tell that you're stressed out. You could call yourself too blessed to be stressed all day long, but we could see you're stressed. You got two different shoes on. There are like three people that just looked down. Like he just called me out. I was on the worship team one time leading worship at a church, and one of my friends came. She was leading worship next to me, walked off the platform, and I was like, "Are you okay today? Because you were in a different place. It seemed like you were kind of stressed out." She's like, "I looked down in the middle of worship, and I had two different shoes on. I'm thinking, why did I get dressed in the dark this morning?" But I never forgot about that. So every Sunday morning when she would come out, I looked down in her shoes like, "Hey, they're matching today. You must be all right." She's like, "I'm doing better than I was last week." But sometimes you're just stressed and you make little mistakes. But it's okay to not be okay. Let's be authentic. Let's be real. You know, I've found that if the enemy can't have my soul, he will try to destroy my sincerity with Jesus. He will try to make me believe that I'm strong enough to deal with it on my own. And the answer is, no, I'm not. I'm really not. My strength has to come from him. I choose to be sincere with the Lord. I want you to notice this attack that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 11. I'll put it up on the screen for you. Verse 3, it says, "But I fear that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, then your minds may be seduced from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." He said, this is what I'm afraid of. That you're going to listen to the voice of the enemy and you develop this spiritual pride and it destroys this pure relationship that you have with Jesus. This is your best you of just being real with him. And my fear is that you would lose that. He echoes this again in 1 Timothy 1 as he's speaking to the young pastor Timothy. He says, "Now the goal of our instruction, or the reason why I'm teaching you this, is that love comes from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from a sincere faith." So not only faith, but a sincere faith. So as we're talking about the word sincere and authentic, I want you to know that in order to understand really what that word means, you have to look at what it doesn't mean. So in the Greek language, the word sincere is anupokritos, which is the exact opposite of a word that you might be able to recognize. It's the word hypokritos. Hypokritos is what we translate now to English, the word hypocrite. Now, you may not use that a lot unless you're about to cuss somebody out. You're just looking for other words. But hypocrite, you might say you're two-faced. Or you're talking about me behind my back. Or you said something, but you meant something else. You act like you're my friend. You act like you're this or you're that. But in reality, you're this. You are a hypocrite. And Jesus speaks a lot about this when he's talking to religious leaders. He calls them, "You bunch of hypocrites." The word hypokritos literally means a play actor that would put on the mask of someone else's face. So you're not just pretending to be someone else. You're actually putting on a mask saying, "I look like them too." And he's saying, this is exactly what you are. Underneath, you're much different. But on the outside, in public, you put on a mask. That's hypokritos. And hypokritos, sincere, means unmasked. I choose to take it off, throw it away. I'm just going to be me. And I found that the real me is enough for him. I don't have to pretend to be anybody else. The best me is an anupokritos me. It's a sincere me. You know, many of us try to live our lives thinking that if we just impress someone else or if we just impress the Lord, that we'll be enough. And that comes from maybe mother wounds or father wounds or the way that people treated you. We have this crazy, blinding fear that we'll never be enough, that we will not be accepted. But God's word tells us the exact opposite. You're accepted and you're loved until you choose to put on a mask and say, I want to be somebody else. Well, then you're choosing something completely different. That's spiritual pride. And you're falling into deception. Is this helping someone today? I'm hoping that this helps you. So I choose to be sincere, first of all, with the Lord. I am enough for him. And I found that he loves me and accepts me just as I am. You remember that song, "Just As I Am"? Powerful song. I saw that at a Billy Graham crusade one time, and I thought, that is the oldest, stupidest song. Who even thinks that song is good? And about 5 minutes later, I watched about 10,000 people accept Christ into their hearts, and I thought, maybe I'm wrong. That song is really good. "Just As I Am." Who thinks that you're enough just as you are? You got to be something that you aren't. No, wait a minute. There's something so sincere about being sincere. It's simple. And it's profound, and it's real, and it's something that God rewards. The best me is a sincere, authentic me. But it's a choice that I have to make to take the mask off and say, God, I'm not okay. Will you help me? Because I can't help myself. Here's the second choice that we have to make in order to release God's best for our lives. I choose to be vulnerable with the right people. Sincerity and vulnerability walk hand in hand. Now, this is tough because we'd like to think we have to protect ourselves. And we ended up letting that overflow into our relationship with God. I got to protect myself. I can't be too vulnerable with God because it might hurt. I can't be too vulnerable with people because I might get hurt. And that comes from a long process and a long held idea that people are going to hurt you. And let me just tell you, you're right. People will hurt you. But that doesn't mean that you get to not trust people. I choose to be sincere with the Lord. I choose to be vulnerable with not just people, but the right people. The right people. How do I know which people are the right people? A great question. I'm glad I asked. The answer is people that are an hypocritos people. People that have taken off the mask, that are being sincere with the Lord, that are being sincere, they're really themselves. I love real people. And whether you know it, you love them too. I love people that are really real, that honestly say what's in their heart. I like honest people. I married one. It took a while for me to get there, but I married one. She's extremely honest and sincere, and I love that about her. Sincerity is sexy. Somebody say amen right there. I like that, but I have to choose to be vulnerable with my wife, or our relationship will never be sincere. It's a choice that I make. The best marriage is a sincere marriage, where we can be intimate with each other. I know her and she knows me. I know what she's thinking. She knows what I'm thinking. I choose to be vulnerable with the right people. And I'll tell you this, and we say this a lot around here. You'll hear this, especially if you're a first-time guest. You're going to notice that this occurs more and more often. You can't be real with everybody, but you better be real with somebody. Somebody better know your secrets. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want to show you how Paul is very vulnerable and very real, almost to a fault. But he says this in verse 1 of chapter 2. He says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, I didn't come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my message were not plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Here is Paul being very, very real and very vulnerable, saying, "When I came to you, I was scared. And I realized I don't speak that well. But in the process, you saw something amazing because God's spirit and his wisdom and his power showed up, even though I'm weak." So Paul is not pretending to be anybody else, even though if you know the background on Paul, Paul is highly educated. Paul knows more about the law. Paul knows more about God's plan for humankind than probably anyone else on the planet at this point. He studied underneath Gamaliel, who was the leading teacher of his day. Gamaliel passed on. He is probably the wisest person that's walking the face of the earth when it comes to understanding God's law. And he's saying, "Look, I came to you without a lot of wisdom because all these things were in my head. And my relationship with God was just beginning. And this sincere place is a place of vulnerability. And I was still trembling and afraid because I'm getting out of my head and I'm opening up my heart. So let me just be real with you and tell you, this was not an easy thing for me, but I'm choosing to be vulnerable with you. Because in my vulnerability, you'll see that in my weakness, he's strong." You know, the best version of you is a real you. Real with God and real with the right people. Lots of people that are following after God think they really have a real relationship with God until you start questioning their motives and you start digging into spiritual pride, until you start talking about them being open and honest with other people, then they see a different picture. Here's the third thing I want to share with you. I choose to let go of pride and embrace grace. This is the good news of grace. The cure for spiritual pride, it's God's grace. And when you have a good understanding of his grace, you can be real with the Lord and with others. It gives you a good snapshot of where he brought you from. And you keep remembering where he brought you from, but you're not limited to where he brought you from anymore. The best version of me is a real me. I've embraced his grace, and it makes me something more. Is this helping you? You know, God tells us this through James, he says, but God gives us more grace. He gives us more grace. And thank God that he still does. I need more grace. He said, that's why scripture said God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. In the Greek, this word means that God literally, when you are showing yourself to be full of pride, says God turns around and begins to fight against you. He opposes you. Some of us wonder why life gets so hard, and your spiritual pride is what's making it so hard. God's opposing you, but he gives grace to the humble. There's a boy that came home with a bad report card, and he was dreading it, but he finally had to show it to his mom. And so he walks in and hands her the report card and gets ready to take her interrogation. So she opens up the report card and sees the obvious bad marks, and she says, "What in the world do you have to say for yourself, young man?" He says, "Well, at least you know I'm not cheating." He let go of some pride. I'm going to embrace grace, and hopefully it's there. James says the same thing. God gives us more grace when you don't quite live up to his perfect standards, when you're not quite enough. You'll never be enough. His grace makes us enough. I love that. James 4 verse 10 says, "So humble yourselves." There's the choice. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. He'll give you the best version of yourself. The best me is a humble me. The best me is a real me, an authentic me, an anhypocritos, unmasked me. That's the me that God's looking for. You know, the authentic version of you is a much better version of you than the one that you're projecting. And I found that through spiritual pride, it makes me feel like I'm a lot stronger than what I really am. I wrote this down, and I hope that this helps you as well, but God's power shows up when I stop flexing my own. If he fights against me, the more that my spiritual pride gets out of control, then it's better for me to humble myself and let his power show up. Like Paul says, I came to you in weakness and fear and trembling, but in that process, God showed up and showed that he is strong in my weakness. You want me to be weak and real and vulnerable. You want me to be sincere with him. Why? Because that's when God shows up. So I want to show you a video this morning about someone that chose vulnerability and ended up finding the best that the Lord had for her. Check this out.
My name is Dee Dee Johnson. I live here in Longview. I've worked as a nurse for the last almost 20 years. The last 4 years I've worked as a nurse practitioner. I actually work at the hospital where I was born. I have a husband and two sons, ages 28 and 18, and me and my husband are about to be empty nesters. So I thought I had a relationship with Jesus, but I really didn't. I even led worship at another church years ago. I came to a point in my life where I had extreme lows. I was having marital problems. Things were really falling apart. Had a lot of anxiety and stress about life and work in general. At that time, I wasn't attending church anywhere. I felt like I needed to be in a neat little package and be well put together before I came to church. I was really looking for my purpose and my worth, and I was really broken at that time. So my turning point in my relationship with the Lord was when my workout buddy, my confidant, my friend Taylor, invited me to come to High Ridge. And I came for the first time, and I was surrounded by people who I knew loved me and accepted me and that I could trust. I began to come regularly, and I worshiped a lot, and I cried a lot. I eventually joined a group, and it was life-changing for me. I knew that I could was in a safe place to be vulnerable and to trust other people. And I knew for the first time in a long time that I wasn't alone, and that even though my life was a mess, that was okay. Eventually, my family saw a big change in me, and they began coming to church with me and my husband joined a small group with me, and it was amazing. So I felt like I discovered my purpose when I was in small group, and I began to learn to pray for others. I was in the Word every day. I was having worship every morning in my bedroom getting ready for work. I recall a time when I was in the middle of a small group semester and I was out of town and I was in a gym on a treadmill, and I felt like God spoke to me for the first time, and He wanted me to talk to one of my friends that didn't know Jesus. And I was scared and I felt crazy for doing it, but I called him and we talked about God, and I introduced him to the love of Jesus, and it was a very powerful moment for me. I finally felt like for the first time that I was doing what God wanted me to do, that I had a purpose in life. I knew I needed to step out and be bold in my faith, and that began to happen. Eventually, I was asked to co-lead a small group, and that was good. Coming full circle, my friend that I introduced to Jesus, when I lost my grandmother, he actually called and asked if he could pray for me. So I feel like what God has taught me is that you're worthy of His love and acceptance through the blood of Jesus Christ, that you have a purpose no matter what, that your testimony can plant seeds in other people. Even if you're not perfect or well-versed, that's okay. You're accepted by the love of Christ. I think it's important to be vulnerable and let people see you're ugly, and that's okay. I think God can change you from the inside out. God's still working on me and restoring things in my life piece by piece. Say yes to God, whatever He has planned for you. You don't want to miss out on an opportunity to tell other people about Jesus and the blessing in that. Don't be fearful or unsure. Just always say yes to God.
How about a hand for my friend Dee Dee? It's a good story. We're going to finish up today, but I want to ask you three questions to bring this home. And the first one is simply this: am I being honest with God? This is a question that only you can answer. But your sincerity, your honesty with God is going to set you up for the best version of you. It all starts there. Am I being honest with Him? I had a friend of mine that when I would tell him things, I had the distinct feeling that he already knew what he was asking me about. And it helped to see me, help for me to see a picture of really who God is. When God asks me things, I realize He already knows the answer. Why am I telling Him something that's not the truth? Be real with Him. He can handle it. Let Him in. He wants to know you. Unmask yourself, starting with Him. Be real with Him. God, I'm not okay. I need your help. I'm struggling. Here's a second question: am I being honest with someone trustworthy? Is there somebody in my life that I can take the mask off with and be honest with? Someone that I know I can trust? You know, our church is built around groups. This is where you're going to find some freedom. This is where you take the mask off and watch other people take their mask off. You realize that we're all in this together. But you need a place where you can not be okay and that be okay. You need to be in a group. It's God's plan for you. It's all throughout His Word. He makes you into a people. He's not asking you to do life alone. You need this. There's still some openings in groups. If you need help, get it to our information center today. Let us find a good group for you. You're going to find some very real and authentic people that are working through the same thing that you're working through. You're going to find strength in that. But you have to be able to answer this question with more than just a social media version of you. I'm good. I'm fine. I'm blessed. Maybe you've got some spiritual pride there that you need some help with. Let us help you. Here's the last question: what would I change if I wanted to know God more than I wanted to impress people? No one's impressed with the fake version of you. We're impressed when you're God's best version of you. you're following after Him, you're listening to His Holy Spirit, when you're walking through challenges, but you're able to hold your head up, when you're connected, you're real. That's the best you. That's the best me. What could God do with your life if it started with sincerity? Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim once again coming to you from High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank each of you for listening personally to this message, but I need you to understand that this is not a replacement for a good church home. So if you're ever in the Longview area, we would love to see you and meet you and hear your story and hear what God's doing in your life. So drop by one of our Sunday services. If you want to check us out online, that's perfectly okay as well, highridgelv.com. Let me just talk to you for one last moment about your walk with Christ. Maybe you're watching today and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, if I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't know where my walk with Christ is. I'm not sure if I've asked Him in my heart. I'm not sure what happens at the end of my life. Or maybe you're saying, I used to walk with God, but I've gotten away from Him. Friend, whether you've never asked Christ into your heart or you've walked away from Him, I believe that if you could see it right now, God Himself is reaching down His hand to you. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. I found myself in the exact same place many years ago, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that something needed to change. I needed help. Somebody loved me enough to help me. It led me in a simple prayer, and I'd love to have the same wonderful opportunity to do that with you as well. So if that's you today and you've never asked Christ into your heart, or maybe you used to walk with Christ but you've walked away from Him and He knows it, you know it, then let me pray this prayer with you. You can say this out loud or in your heart right where you are. I believe that God will hear this prayer. Your life will absolutely change today. So pray with me. Prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You came and died but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I ask You to come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me. Heal me. Change me. I give myself to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so thrilled about the decision that you just made. Would you do me a favor? Go online and send me a message if that's okay. highridgelv.com/contact and click on the tab that says send us a message. Let us know what just happened inside of your heart so we can send you some resources and help you out in your walk with Christ. That would mean a lot to us if you would. I want to say a very special thank you for your generosity, for your tithes and offerings. The way that you guys have financially supported us is just incredible. We could not do it without you. If you'd like to financially support us as well, you can go to highridgelv.com/give if you'd feel so inclined. So once again, thank you for tuning in. We love you. God bless.